Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. Hello. All right, everybody. What's up? What's cracking? What's the vibe out there today? What's everybody thinking? What's the space? What's the space between the thoughts today? Are we in that? The mind moving rapidly today, or are we finding space in between the thoughts? Space in between the breath. I'm going to invite you into that space today as I just play around a little bit and tell you, introduce you, and initiate you into the archetype of Chiron. Chiron, and I'll tell more about the mythology of Chiron in another episode, but essentially, he is the Greek mythological figure that represents the shaman, the soul's journey of unification and integration, the bridge between intellect and spirit, the divine and the human experience, the upper and the lower realms. Very powerful. The union of instinct, the life force, and spirit, the divine. So it's really about the essence of the spiritual being living the human experience. That's what Chiron represents. And that is the essence of the soul's journey the second that it jumps into your physical body. So when your soul is on the other side, before it gets here, the space between death and life, and it constructs the whole play of consciousness that it's about to jump into in this particular life, it puts all the players together, the soul lines everybody up. It's the casting call. Who am I going to choose to put in all of these different roles? Going to have my best friend be the villain. Going to have this one be the mother, be the father. I'm going to have this one show up in my life at this time to give me a whooping, to make my head spin around, make me question everything. I got everybody lined up. I already did my casting. Now I got to direct the play, got to produce it. I got to be the star lead. I'm the lead of the play. Now my soul's over there doing all that before it decides, what body am I going to jump into? Do I want that one? Do I want that one? What am I here to learn? And not really what am I here to learn, actually, because we're all actually here to learn the same thing, which is how to get back to source. That is the Chironic wound. That cosmic wound of separation is what Chiron is all about. It's that abandonment wound that we feel when we are separated from source. So we get separated from source at the soul level when we decide that we're going to jump into this physical body. That's the first wound. That's a Chironic wound that we're all here to learn how to soothe, intend to, and heal. That is across the board. It's our separation from source that we're here to heal. How we go about learning the way back to source is going to be different from every person. And that's where all the players come in. That's where all the trauma comes in. That's where all the life events come in. Because it's through all of that pain that we're going to learn how to get back to source. We might learn it in this lifetime. We might learn it in another lifetime. We might not really realize until we cross over and the physical body expires whether or not we learned it or not. And if we didn't, we're going to get another chance at it. That's karma. Karma is all about balance. It's all about balancing out the needs of the soul. And sometimes we jump into a lifetime where we do it one way. We pay off some karmic debt in one way. And then we might jump into a body where we start paying down the death and debt of karma in a completely radically different way. That's why karma is all about the essence of balance, where we might have to be a victim in one lifetime. We might have to be, a highly conscious spiritual being in the next. Chiron is the bridge between the worlds, the upper and the lower realms. And that's demonstrated by the mythological figure that he is, which is the centaur, half man, half horse. And the horse represents the guide that's going to show us the path. The horse connects the humans with the upper and the lower realms. And that's why Chiron is all about what our wounding is, because we have to go down into that wounding, like the mana, the energy that just falls downward. You think of gravity, washes us clean, brings us into the underworld, the depths of our own suffering that only lives in the mind, only to find out that when we reach the soul, we come to a place of purity. And Chiron represents a cycle, the cosmic cycle of what it means to be that spiritual entity living in the flesh of the human being. And it's the cycle of suffering, death, rebirth, and return. That's the essence of the hero and the heroine's journey. And we go through this whole adventure to grasp all of that. And as a human being, what we do or what we experience when we first are born is our memory has been wiped clean. And I don't mean that in necessarily a positive way, because when we become the human being and we're growing and learning, our job is to erase the memory. We're constantly having to do the erasing. That's the cleaning house stuff that I've been talking about. But the problem is that when we incarnate here as a soul being in the human experience, the first thing that happens is we forget that we came from Source. And we forget that Source lives inside of us, that essence of pure love, the home. We forget where our home is. Everybody's out here searching for their home. All everybody wants to do is go back home. And we have a really hard time figuring out where home is. So we forget who we are. We think we're all these things. We think we are the roles that we play in the play of consciousness. We think we are the mother, the father, the entrepreneur, the therapist, the healer, right? Like I talked about in that last episode. We assign all these roles to ourselves, which is part of what the play of consciousness is, but we fuse our identity with these roles. I am the this, I am the that, I am blah, blah, blah. Who gives a crap? Because that's not who you are. You're not any of your conditioning. That's your programming telling you all that. The work, the Chironic work, is to deprogram and then reprogram. It's about having that unconscious and subconscious play be one that is constantly bringing you back to the cleaning, which is going to put you back in connection with Source. So we forget. Then we have the psyche that defends against the fact that we've forgotten and defends against that experience of grief and pain that comes from the separation from Source. And then it gets magnified when we're actually born, because we're separated from the mother physically. Our consciousness is fused with the mother in utero, and then we're delivered. And sometimes it's a traumatic delivery. Sometimes we're taken from the womb where we're not even ready to come out yet, through C-section, right? It's not even our doing. It's like, wait a second. What's going on here? Why are you coming in to take me? I thought I was supposed to be the one determining when I show up. No longer. So now how does that play out, right? It's being done to us. So another experience of being victimized that we now have to defend against with all of our psychological defenses, where we resist letting go. And the more we resist, the more that tension builds and builds and builds and builds. And then eventually, the heart breaks wide open. The suffering has now become unbearable, and it creates opportunity. Now there's an opening. A portal has now been constructed through the open heart experience, the broken open heart experience, as Adam Gainsbourg talks about. So it breaks open, and that's usually not, it's all, I don't think I've ever had the experience myself, and definitely have never seen it, where we voluntarily surrender before the break happens. It's just not how it works. We don't even know enough to know that the break needs to happen until it just happens, because the tension has built so much from our psychological defenses of defending against being that raw and vulnerable. When the break happens, we can do one of two things. We can keep the resistance going because the psyche is saying we're not even willing to surrender, even though the break has happened and we have this incredible opportunity to transcend the pain and suffering. We're going to keep the defenses. We're going to keep that fight going. And if you choose that path and you don't surrender when the break comes in and that opportunity from the divine presents itself to you, you're either going to experience the break later in life and it's going to be more painful because even more tension and momentum and force and energy has built behind it, or you will finally surrender when death comes because you have no choice at that point. So that's fate. Fate is when life happens to you, not with you. It's gonna direct you where you need to go because you're refusing to take the lessons. Destiny is when you surrender after that break comes in. And you say, okay, fine. Oh my God, I give up. Fine, I give up. I'm gonna let go now. Because the pain is just insurmountable. And that's when the transformation happens, because that's when we integrate and then we evolve. And we come back to our spiritual essence at that point, because we've built up the ego all through the years with all those psychological defenses. And then we finally realize that now we have to do the opposite, which is to let it all go. All of those psychological defenses serve a function. They all really have to be there to protect us. When we are 9 months old, and the skull has now fully formed. You know, they say like babies have like a, you know, what do they call it? Like a soft head or whatever. It's because the backside of the cranium hasn't even fused yet. It takes 9 months after birth for that to even fuse. So think about the symbolism of that. The skull has now fused to protect the brain. That's when all of our protection mechanisms start, 9 months old. Like, that's really what the deal is. So, and it needs to. The brain needs to be protected. The baby needs to be protected because it's vulnerable. It's totally dependent on the people around it that are caring for it or not caring for it. So, of course, those psychological defenses are going to build. This is the essence of the Chironic theme. To take 100% radical self-responsibility for breaking down the defenses when the time comes. And it's... So when the break happens, it's the signal. You are now ready to surrender and make the transformation. If you resist it, you're going to live the rest of your life in pain. And then the break may happen anyway. It's just going to be a million times more painful, or you don't break at all, and then the rest of your life is miserable. I hate to sound so morbid about it, but this is the truth. This is why you get people in their late ages that are just hating their lives and everybody else. Who wants to be there? Why would we do that? I mean, yeah, we can thrive off negativity, but I mean, come on. It's a drug, right? Like, at some point, we're going to get sober. Are you just going to keep this going? I mean, at some point, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. So we come back to the space of healing the grief that we feel, separated from source, separated from mother. And Chiron is all about awakening the inner healer, and then taking the self-responsibility necessary to now follow the path that the Chiron experience is now showing to you and revealing to you. It's the unfolding of the path. And Chiron represents the integration of the seen and the unseen worlds, matter and spirit, masculine and feminine. He is the teacher, the bridge, the initiator into the truth, and he represents the polarity of the opposites. So the wound is the medicine. He is the teacher of the teachers also. So it's a, you know, that's why his archetype traditionally is known as the wounded healer, the healer who is wounded. And I went in depth about how healer is not a term that I'm even interested in using anymore, and why. I went into that in the last episode. But that's where I think we take the lesson from the Chironic mythology, is that he wasn't able to heal himself. In my experience and my perception is because he was still seeing his role as the healer, excuse me, the healer to everybody else. And so he wasn't tending to his own wound. He was actually pissed off that he was wounded. And that's the Greek mythological story of how it all unfolded, that he actually was wounded by himself, mistakenly. He's the one that hurt himself by mistake. It was his arrow that had the poison on the end that stabbed him in the foot. So he wounded himself. And then he was pissed about it. He was mad about it. And resentful. He could never fully integrate it. And that's the lesson. So Chiron is all about the healer that lives in you. It's the inner physician. It's about the cycle of the soul. And the shamanic aspect of this Chironic symbolism, which truly is all about the psychological arc of development, psychological process of maturation and growth. But the shamanic piece, anybody that knows the work of shamans, they're going into the realm of the lost souls. They're bringing you into the experience of death, whether it's ego death or whether they do that work by going into the pockets of earthbound spirits that are the, you know, the lower realm, lower realms, I should say, in the realm of hungry ghosts. That's the lower realm, earthbound spirits that are trapped because at the time that they died, they were full of the sludge of their own memories and they hadn't cleared them. And through the death process, maybe even been a traumatic death process that kept them stuck. Now the soul can't move on. So the shamans go in, alter their consciousness to connect with the souls that are in these realms and help them cross over. Now, if you listen to the last episode that I did, I would say that our job is to not really step in and help anybody in that way. What to me it means, the shamanic experience of searching for the lost souls and helping them cross over, is that we're looking for the lost soul that lives within us. It's the hungry ghost inside of us that we must tend to and help cross over so we can release the density of the intellect and the memories that cause us to experience so much pain and emotional reactivity. So it's becoming our own Chiron. And through there, we get clarity about how the outer world is getting reflected back to us as this massive, huge mirror. To know you is to know myself. It's wound awareness. And it's taking full responsibility and accountability for that. We might not be responsible necessarily for what our parents did or our ancestors did or experienced, but we are responsible for doing the cleaning. And this is where we get out of victim consciousness and into the space of personal empowerment. And so it's the data. It's the data of the mind that we're trying to erase. It's all data. And that's the essence of the Chironic journey. And some of us are walking that path pretty explicitly in all ways. That has been my experience. Some people are not, and they can still use the Chironic archetype to get a feel for and to get insight on what their wounds are and how they can help themselves heal. And so really the Chironic archetype in so many ways is this bridge between death and life, life and death. In resolving the fears that we have about coming to the end, freeing ourselves. So by the time we get there, our soul is as light as a feather, and it can move where we want it to move. When that break happens and that heart breaks wide open, what the wound is saying is that I want to be tended to and I want to be cleaned. And that's powerful. And if we refuse the call of the wound, then we are refusing the call of the heroine in the hero's journey. The phone rings and we either don't answer it or we answer it and then we hang up. Nah, I don't want to do that right now. No, I think I'm just going to keep going the way that I'm going because I don't really want to deal with that. Well, you're going to have to deal with it at some point, whether you deal with it in this lifetime, another lifetime, or you deal with it in your death process. You're going to have to deal with it. Nothing is completely avoidable. And in fact, avoidance is what causes us all the pain because we're not willing to turn and look at the thing that we're so petrified is going to be so painful to actually look at, only to realize that on the other side, It's actually moving through the wound that gets us to where we want to be, of that place of stillness, the void, the space of zero. We think that if we avoid it, we're actually avoiding the pain. You're keeping yourself in bondage to that wound if you do it that way. And so the experience of the chironic wound is the essence of maybe a Chiron return, maybe a Chiron square. Typically, when that break happens, we can look at somebody's chart and see that the Chiron is playing a significant influence on just how it's moving in the sky at that time. It forces us to turn and face our wound because it's the soul's drive to achieve wholeness at that point. The soul is crying out and saying, please, 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 hello, pay attention, wake up. There's a wound here that you're not even conscious of. Can you please turn and look at it and tend to it? I need your help. And that's when we team up. So it's these many sides of ourselves that come together in a harmonized way, that come into union, that end up supporting us for the rest of the journey. And it takes a lot of courage and leadership, sacrifice, grace. Courage, leadership, sacrifice, and grace to be able to turn to the wound so we can evolve forward. And if we take 100% responsibility, we will get there. But in order to do that, you have to have courage. You have to embrace yourself as your own personal leader. You have to be willing to make the sacrifice. Sacrifice the aspects of the ego that keep you in bondage with the wound in exchange for inner peace, stillness, and the void of zero. And when you get there, the relationship that you have with the divine, that is faith. Grace is the divine's relationship with you. That's when grace enters. So now you leave it up to the divine to do the work. And you don't need to know anything else. So it's about finding this harmony to allow the transformation to take place. You pay down your death and debt. Karmic debt. Before the body reaches its conclusion, so it doesn't have to come back here and learn all these lessons of the Earth School all over again. Because who wants to do that? I don't. Chances are, I mean, I get the sense that I've probably lived many lifetimes. This isn't my first rodeo, which is why I'm eager and interested in this work. And it's of great interest to me to pay down my death and debt before I die. There is a incredibly powerful inner knowing that I have that drives and directs every action that I make. I am highly, highly connected to the last day that I will be here on this planet, which drives what I want to focus my time and energy on and what I value. Because I kind of want to get this right. Because it's really kind of a lot. What I've decided to take on in this lifetime. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm not trying to do this again. I want to retire after this, you know? I want to kick back, be on a beach somewhere, head up to the mountains, chill there for a while, look over everything, soar high above. The Earth School is a rough go. I mean, let's face it, you guys. We're walking in hell right now. That's why it's such a big deal to be here, to do this. The other ethereal and other realm beings don't come, like, you don't get this anywhere else, the Earth experience. And this is kind of like a one-of-a-kind opportunity. It's the only place where suffering lives. Because why? Because we have a mind and we have an ego. They used to say, no, they probably still say it, in AA, ego is not your amigo. And I used to be like, I don't know how I feel about that, because you want to befriend the ego so you can train it to get it to surrender. And I still feel that way. It's just that not only do you want to get the ego to surrender, you want to wipe it clean of all of its garbage. Which, I mean, let's face it, as human beings, like, we're probably never going to fully accomplish that, because then we would be dead, frankly. So I think we only reach that when it comes to the end of this lifetime. But we can make it a lot more peaceful and a lot easier to get there. So Chiron is an incredibly powerful character. But in my experience, walking the chironic path is not about being the healer to everybody else that leaves you full of resentment because you can't heal your own wound. And then not wanting to embrace your immortality and instead asking the gods to end your life. Because that's the story. That's how the story plays out. It's not about that, actually. It's about, you know, and I think a lot of people get so fixated when they look at these archetypes like Kali and Shiva, like, oh, I'm supposed to, you know, honor Lord Shiva and like be the person who brings destruction. It's like, oh my God. You know, some of these people, man, that I've crossed paths with in my life that like really idolize these like archetypal gods and goddesses. All these archetypes are reflections of qualities of the human experience. They are not entities to live your life by in every aspect. So I have profound respect for Chiron. I work with Chiron very seriously, very strongly in my life. But I do not aim to emulate his path in the way that he walked it. It's to learn from the highs and the lows and see where I want to make adjustments. Have that discerning eye. That's where the ego becomes the friend, the discerning element, where you can be like, I'm going to take this, I'm going to leave the rest, and I'm going to use it to guide me down the path, which is the teacher itself. The path is the teacher. So it's a very powerful space to be in when you start doing this work. And as somebody who worked through my own suffering, continues to work through my own suffering, and then found myself in the space of a therapist, which was totally unintentional. I did not know what I was doing at the time. I came to a master's program where I was getting a master's degree in forensic psychology. And after a year, completed the first year, they changed the name of the degree to clinical mental health counseling with an emphasis in forensic and correctional counseling. And I was like, what? Wait a second. Counseling? I thought I was here to get a degree in forensic psychology so I could use my area of expertise of knowing the mind, the criminal mind, in like going to work for like the freaking FBI or some crap. I wanted to be an FBI profiler. I'm here to be a counselor? Get the frick out of here, man, with this. I'm not here to do that crap. But I was like, here I am. So we're going to keep this going and see where it takes us. So I was never meant to be a therapist or a counselor. And that is where I've landed on now. That's what I said in the last episode, why therapy is bullshit. Because it is. And obviously I knew that on some unconscious level when this whole path started. But I needed to figure that out for myself. I would have never known, never in a million years, would have totally ever been able to understand that. How is therapy bullshit? Therapists are helping people. Isn't that a great thing? Isn't that what we hope to be and receive? Yes, but not in the way that we think. Not at all in the way that we think. So look up Chiron. And I think I said in the last episode, Zach Stein was one of the experts. It's Zane Stein, not Zach. I mean, close, but no cigar. Look up the work of, I mean, Melanie Reinhardt is a game changer. I love Adam Ginsberg's work too, but Melanie's work speaks to me on a totally different level. She's a Gemini, fellow Gem, so that's probably why. There's something about the way she describes Chiron that really resonates with me, that is really major. And she has some episodes on YouTube too that you can check out on the astrology podcast where she talks about this. You can even actually... I shouldn't say that. She's not doing any personal readings anymore, but you can still follow her work if you want to deepen your understanding of Chiron. And I'm really focusing my energy on this archetype because, as I said in the last episode, there's a huge collective connection that we have to this mythological character that is going to continue to show itself as we move on. Chiron is also the archetype of plant medicine and holistic healing. And I mean, come on, look where we're at right now in the psychedelic renaissance. So, very powerful here. And yeah, I just think that there's a real essence to turning towards the wounding, to set it free, to come back to the place of zero, and embracing the Chironic wound that really at its core is about separation from the divine. And we are totally traumatized by that separation when we come into the human experience as the soul that was out there in the higher realms before we got here. And the job and the work is to just repair that and heal that. That's really all it's about. It's just coming back to the divine. And that's really all you have to worry about. The divine will work the rest out for you. So I'm going to leave it there. A little bit of a shorter episode today, but I'm again, only moving from a place of inspiration. When I do this stuff, anything that I do these days, I'm really asking myself, what do I want to do right now? And when I come from that place, I don't need notes. I don't need anything. I don't need preparation. I used to say, like, it's all in the prep. Yeah, the prep is the cleaning now. Find your clean space. And that's the prep work. So I'm going to leave it there, you guys. Follow me on Insta at Third Realm Integration. Visit the website. Definitely subscribe on YouTube. I got those astrology videos coming out twice a month now for new moon and full moon readings. And yeah, by the time this episode comes out, we'll have another full moon reading up. So go check that out. And I hope everybody is enjoying the vibe of independence this week. And hopefully everybody is enjoying nice weather, playing around with some fireworks, don't get hurt, and looking up to the sky to see the bright stars align if you are enjoying any fireworks shows. It's usually wild around here, right near my house, for 4th of July. So I think I can typically see the fireworks from my house, but I think I might make my way over to the beach to watch them as well. So I wish you all a beautiful week. I will catch you on the next episode. May the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody.
Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and/or entertainment only and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor.
A quote from Melanie Reinhardt, who was a Chiron expert and an amazing, the best leader in the field of Chironic astrology. Here we go. Chiron represents an emerging spirit of philosophical independence, compassion in the face of suffering, and an ongoing process of learning to trust the inner teacher or guide.